It's interesting, if you'll turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. I really appreciate that song, Walk with the King. I want to talk about our walk tonight as we walk with Christ. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The ESV says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This idea of our walk being worthy or our manner of life being worthy, that comes up in several different passages. And so I was kind of looking at that, doing my own study, and then I thought maybe we'll just talk about that together tonight. So we'll just kind of do my devotions here in front of everybody and do that way. Let your conversation or let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel. We're going to look at some different passages and then come back to this concept. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints of light. Verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And then lastly, Ephesians chapter 4. We heard this verse this morning, and I appreciate that. It's always scary when you hear a verse that you're thinking about preached before you. 1-3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My question to myself as I read these passages is my walk worthy of the Lord and of His kingdom? Is my way of life fitting with the character of God and with the revealed will of God? Are my actions and reactions fitting with the gospel and the fact that I'm born again? So thinking along these lines, I know there's some differences in the passages between worthy of God, worthy of the kingdom of God, worthy of the gospel. But the basic concept that I was convicted with is my walk worthy of these things? Does my life reflect the Christianity that I claim here and throughout the week? Let's pray as we look at this tonight. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will help us to be convicted where we need conviction and be encouraged where we need encouragement. Lord, help us to grow in our walk tonight and then live that out this week. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The word worthy can be confusing. Think of it as fitting or appropriate. Don't think of it as I am going to do things to gain my worth before Jesus Christ. Okay, that is gained at the cross. Any worth that I have is imputed to me. The question is now, am I living out what He has given me, who He has declared me to be? A good example of fitting or appropriate, I think, is a few different doors that I've worked on in my life. I have a shed where I keep the lawnmower and garden tools and stuff like that in my backyard. And it has one of those clasps that's on the door trim and then one of those sliding lever locks on the door. Everybody know that? Okay. So you slide it in and it works kind of hard because the wind blows it shut and it bends that bar out and you got to push and but it works, okay? About a half inch rod that slides in there, fairly secure, fairly functional. A different door that we have worked on was a door on a house that we built. It was one of those double doors, big entry doors with the side lights, and it was arched at the top. And it was 14 feet high, the door was, and it was either maybe 2.5, 3 inches thick, usually doors, exterior doors, about 1 3/4 inches, so big, heavy door, mahogany, made in Honduras. There's nothing at Lowe's, Home Depot, or Menards that's worthy of that door. You have to get something that fits, that is appropriate for that door. So we've seen that not just in design situations, but in other things where we kind of tilt our head a little bit and say that doesn't fit with that. So as I read these verses and God is saying to me, your way of acting, your character, your actions and your reactions shouldn't look like a bolt slapped under the side of a $100,000 door. But if I think of my sin as opposed to the new creation that God has made me, it's along those same lines in ridiculousness. Do I often see my sin that way? I see it as no big deal. I see it as something I just struggle with. Something that it's not that bad. The Bible says it's unworthy of who we've been made to be. Sins of the flesh don't fit with the character of God. They don't fit. They are from the old nature that He saved me from. They don't fit with the new man that He has created me to be. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Listen to the past tense. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. That's done. At the point of salvation, our old man is identified with Christ, crucified with Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Now that's an ongoing process. He doesn't take away my sin nature at the point of salvation. That henceforth we should not serve sin. So as I'm moving forward in life, I'm declared dead, and then I'm commanded to live accordingly. Commanded to live in fitting with what I'm declared to be. Another way to look at it,
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Okay, so declaration. This is what you were, darkness. This is what you are now. Great, so I have no problem, right? Life is automatic, instant, complete sanctification. Well, then why does he say, walk as children of light? So it's not fitting for me to walk in darkness if I'm a child of light. It doesn't work. Peter says it too. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. As Sean said this morning, saints. And we tilt our heads saying, I don't feel like a saint per se all the time. But if I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, in verse 9, in verse 11 he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So over and over again we see God giving us this declaration, this is who you are because of Christ, because of salvation, and this is how I want you to live now based on that fact. And I come to these verses and it says, does your life match? Does your walk match? Do your actions match or fit what you've been declared to be? So we make war on the sins of the flesh. And we fight them and we set up standards and guardrails and helps for sins of the flesh, and we start to see some victory and some change. And then perhaps we're convicted about something else. What about my sinful attitudes and my demeanor that don't fit with the fruit of the Spirit? We can become that man or that woman who has conquered certain sins and become certain people, have a certain reputation, and be squeaky clean in this action. I don't do that. I do that. That is good. But what doesn't fit is when that same person has just a rotten attitude, or bitterness, or anger, or jealousy tends to just shine out as an overall characteristic. But boy, we're doing everything right, but nobody wants to be around us. How does that fit the Christ that we see in the gospel? How does that fit love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, faith, temperance? God is interested in my actions. He's interested in my reactions, in my attitudes. When I get bumped, what comes out? So, we start working on our actions, reactions, attitudes. And then the third thing that always sneaks up on me after doing all that work is pride and self-righteousness. Because now that I've got some stuff fixed, I'm a pretty good guy. And my pride convinces me of self-righteousness, which doesn't fit with the reality of the gospel and the righteousness of Christ. Where does this unfitness show up? Well, it shows up with my relationship with Christ, first of all. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see the unfitting there? If I say I have fellowship with him, yeah, we're good. Doing everything right. I'm good. But yet there's a part of me that's unfitting, that is still hanging on whether it's a stronghold or a besetting sin or an attitude or a vengeful spirit towards that person or whatever, it doesn't fit. And I say, I'm fine. And God is saying, you're lying because this doesn't line up. You're walking in darkness in that area. It shows up in my relationship with other believers. If I am harboring sin and excusing sin, I'm going to stumble another believer. If I have a bad attitude, that's going to show up. If I'm self-righteous, I'm going to have a sense of superiority over other believers. Boy, they don't have it all together like me. And we don't say it in our minds that way, but if we really boiled it down and were honest, that's what we would be saying if we put the words together. We correct someone without a spirit of meekness. That's a good sign that we've got some blind spots in our lives. This morning we heard about speaking the truth in love. That was very appropriate. Unwillingness to accept correction. I don't need to hear that from you because I'm so much better than you. Would be the basic thing that we're saying, even though we don't verbalize it. Our lack of fitness shows up with unbelievers. How many times have we been called out on a sin by an unbeliever? That's pretty humiliating. Oh, you're a Christian. That's God's grace there, because that's a pretty direct way to show us where we need help. If I sin and excuse it, that's going to show up with unbelievers, and they're going to see that doesn't fit. Your walk doesn't match what you say you believe. If I have a bad attitude towards life in general, if I'm complaining, an unbeliever could say, well, he, you know, goes to church 3 times a week. He does all these right things. He's got this way of living, this standard, but yet his attitude about the boss is no better than my attitude about the boss. Something doesn't fit there. And if I have a self-righteous mindset, then boy, I'm going to have a hard time having love for the lost. I'm going to have a hard time seeing myself as a saved, lost person. I think of myself as a saved person and a good person, but forget that I was once lost. And it could be that I even preach a religion instead of Christ. Do what I do. Do this. Reform your ways. Do better. Here's a new list of rules to go by as opposed to preaching Christ. So if that's the case, my question is always, how do I fix it? Okay? How do I fix it if I have part of my life or parts of my life that aren't fitting to God's standard and to the gospel? Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think if we combine that with 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The prayer I like to use is, show me, scrub me, and change me. It would be the three things that I ask of Christ, because sometimes I can't even see it. I don't even know. I think everything's okay. I have my own excuses. Sin has a self-preservation aspect of it. It doesn't want to be called out. It doesn't want to be eradicated. It is a survivor. So if it needs to hibernate for a while, it'll hibernate. If it needs to excuse itself, it'll excuse itself. If it needs to find a worse sinner to point to justify me, it'll do that. It's slippery. First thing I need to do is say, God, show me. He may do that directly through His Word. He may do that through a sermon. He may do that, as we heard about this morning, through the body of Christ. As we are with each other and around each other, He may, by grace, show me that is inconsistent with the gospel. That is inconsistent with the character of Christ. So now I know it, okay? And that's not the most painful part, as painful as that may be. Now that needs to go away. And depending on how bad it is, maybe depends on how much scrubbing needs to be done. If you think of, you know, when you fell down as a kid and you got dirt and rocks in the cut, and all that has to be removed before the healing can start. Oftentimes we got a lot of mess. And it's either the depth of our sin or the length of our sin or how long we've kept it hidden. Some things aren't a quick and easy, all right, I prayed about it and it's over. Some of these things are strongholds that really need to be battled. And so we come to Christ and we say, Christ, continue to scrub me of this and cleanse me of this. I see this as a problem. And sometimes He keeps revealing, oh, it was further down than I thought, or it affected this over here. And sometimes we're like, okay, you can stop now. I didn't know it was that bad. Scrub me and then change me. I don't want to keep falling at 40 the way I fell at 16, okay? I want to move past that. I want to grow. I want to become more sanctified. I don't want to just have changed actions. I want to have changed desires. Lord, the heart that goes after this unfitting sin, I want that heart to be changed. I don't want to want it as much. As I turn from that to You and towards the good works that You created me to do, I want to desire that. And maybe that's just selfish or lazy on my part. But I have found that it's so much easier to do things that I want to do than it is to do things that I don't want to do. It's easier to eat food that I want to eat rather than eat food that my wife says tastes good. So sometimes I just pray as far down as it needs to go. Maybe I don't even feel like praying. So let's start there. Lord, help me feel like praying. Amen. I don't know. Why not ask Him for everything? If Lord, here's this sin. You know that I want to do this sin. So I'm telling You right now, I really want to do this sin. I know I shouldn't do it. My mind and everything knows all the right answers. But my heart is really drawn to that sin. I need You to help me right now in this sin. Because I am really tempted. Open, honest vulnerability, a talk with God and with Christ. And as we are turning from that sin, we can continue talking to Him. There have been times when I've been driving and tempted and hit the gas instead of the brake, and even maybe complaining. You know, you get frustrated, temptations everywhere. Why do I have to do this? And sometimes my actions have to go first, and then my emotions and my mind have to catch up with that. Get away and then work it out. But I found that if I'm praying during that process, then I'm walking with Christ, and He's helping me sort through that, and He's changing my desires. And it's interesting that temptation can and does pass without fulfilling the temptation. There's two ways for temptation to cease. One is to just go ahead and sin. Then you're not tempted because you sinned. You fulfilled it. Another way is to have victory over that sin and the temptation ceases. Now sometimes it hammers you for a long time. It may not be a 30-second temptation. It may continue to call. It may get in your mind. It may pull and pull and pull, and you may have to do some battle. I like to pray in graveyards and cemeteries, just because I'm weird, I guess. But it's really neat the perspective you get if you pray in a cemetery. You can go right to the wages of sin and stand right on top of the wages of sin and pray about your sin. It's somewhat effective. God, this, what I want, this is what it really is. And if you're weeping and wailing in a cemetery, nobody cares because they just think you're sad about somebody that's there. So you can do whatever you want. But do we ask, God, show me where I'm being hypocritical, where I'm walking one way as opposed to your character and opposed to the gospel? And do we let Him do His work? And the painful work of changing us. That's what He's commanding us to do. And we're going to struggle with our relationship with Him. We're going to struggle with our relationship with each other. We're going to struggle in our evangelism if we're harboring things that are not fitting to the gospel. Look at one more verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Wherefore, verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy. ESV says, make you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking with God in the righteousness of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Walking in a way that's in accordance with the gospel. What is the gospel? I'm a sinner. How do I come before God? I come to Him with nothing of my own good to offer. Okay? I have sin. My sin is damning me. I come to you. I'll trade my sin for your righteousness. My sin goes on Christ on the cross. He gives me His free gift of righteousness. That's the gospel. Praise God. So how do I walk according to that? Here I come. Okay? Got the old nature still in me. Now I have the new nature. Wow, now I have the option. Thank you. Before that, I didn't have the option. All my righteousnesses were as filthy rags. They all went on the same pile. Okay, there aren't two piles on the scale. Everybody who thinks there's going to be a scale in heaven, the other side's empty, no matter how much good you do. That's the problem. So now I come to Christ. Here's my temptation. It says, turn, live to the old man, live according to the flesh. Walk in newness of life. I come before Christ. Christ, I did a scan real quick. I have no self-righteousness. However, I do have righteousness. It's your righteousness. And you've declared me already to be righteous, and you've required me to walk according to that righteousness. So, in this time of temptation, in this time of attitude crisis, I can walk in the light. That's amazing. Victory is there. The way of escape is there. The power of Christ is there. Already. For me. We can get a defeatist attitude. Oh, man, I've struggled with this so long. That's just the way I am. If you knew my background, you would understand. And God is saying, did my power stop at salvation? The same power that miraculously saved you is the same power that is right here for you to grab at that moment of temptation. You are already declared righteous. And here is the righteousness of Christ. You can win right now. It may be a fight. It may be hard. But we're not in bondage to these sins, habits, attitudes, addictions. We pray for you that our God would make you worthy, fitting of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are having victory over sin, God's glorified. You know why? Because you're a sinner. You shouldn't be doing what's right. You're a human. You're supposed to be in rebellion against God. But He saved you and He empowered you. Look at your life. Anything good you have is His grace, and that glorifies Him. The fact that us sinners are here tonight and can walk in fellowship with God in accordance with the gospel shows the power of God, that He would save us and give us the strength we need to change us. So that's what He's commanding us to do, but that's what He's enabling us to do. So yes, it's a finger of command, but it's also a hand of assistance and a hand of grace for our time of need. Let's pray. Father, we want our walk to be right, not for our reputation, but for our relationship with You and with each other, and Father God, for the purpose and strength of the gospel to unbelievers. Help us to be humble, yet confident in You, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.